Paul tells of the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And Jesus himself spoke of the great trumpet. In Matthew 24:31, he says, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Have we been made new? Have we been resurrected from old creation to new? Have we been made new, born again? Are we ready for the sound of that trumpet?
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. This morning, we welcomed Brother Jesse White as our guest preacher. Brother Jesse delivered his sermon titled, Jesus is Coming, Are You Ready? And now, Brother Jesse.
As mentioned, I've been here a few times. Named Jesse White from over here at Clinton. I see Brother Ron's here with me also. I'm surprised, but we do absolutely want to remember your pastor and his family as they travel today and the next few days. Let me start with a word of prayer here. Father, we do thank you for this time. Lord, let this be a special time that we focus our mind, our heart, our spirit upon you, and the concerns of the world, everyday life, we could leave aside for a while and just focus on who you are and what you've done for us, and just the importance of your word, your instructions for us. Lord, I just ask that you put aside this fleshly vessel and just use these stammered lips to bring your word forward in a way that's comprehensible, and help our hearts and minds understand and take in the things that are useful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Who here has heard and agrees that Jesus is coming again? Who knows when? We know he's coming, but we don't know when. But we know God has given us in his word some things to look forward to. To keep in mind, to be aware of, that have to do with his return. And we see these in the New Testament and in the Old, believe it or not. The Old Testament is full of prophecies of Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his coming kingdom and reign. We have to be careful not to keep such a division between the old and the new, because they're like a puzzle. They fit together perfectly. How many like puzzles? My wife, she's really big and she really likes puzzles, but she don't like the 100-piece ones because they're too simple, but she doesn't like the 1,000-piece ones either. She likes around the 500 range. But puzzles are fun when you can see things fit together. And the Word of God is like that. Like I said, we all agree that Jesus is coming, and we don't know when, but we agree he's coming. But what are we doing about it? As a church, as individuals. Now, my personal opinion, the church as a whole is a group of people, some of them believers. I believe that God deals with individuals. He's dealing with us as individuals. We're ultimately accountable to him as individuals. When we stand before the judge, he's not going to ask us about our church affiliation, who this, who that, what we think about it. He's saying, what about you? What did you do with my son? We're accountable as individuals, and that's the way I look at how he's dealing with, well, I say the church, is those individuals that are truly his. Now, I mentioned the Old Testament. Would you believe that in one book, actually one chapter of one of the first five books of the Old Testament, it tells, there's a one chapter that tells about Jesus, his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his coming again, and establishing his kingdom. That can all be found in a 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And it's the chapter on the feasts of the Lord. Now, many of us recognize from Passover, and I really enjoy what we've done last few years at First Baptist, how they've had teachings and sessions on the Passover and showing Jesus' ministry in that. But that's just one of seven of the feasts. But Jesus is found in all of them. And we have to remember, when we look at the writings in the New Testament, Jesus was, his coming was foretold in the Old Testament. The New Testament is his manifestation and his ministry. But the writers, many of them were Jews, and they were writing to Jews, and they spoke of things and about things in the way that Jews understood. And us coming from more of a Gentile background, that doesn't all fit together real well for us initially a lot of times. So what I hope to accomplish here is to take, just look at one of the feasts and put some Old Testament and New Testament together and see how, if it doesn't click, if some things don't appear to us that may not have before. Now, what I'm going to look at is actually one that's occurring right now. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. It actually started last Sunday, the 2nd, at sundown. And it goes until the 12th or 13th here, when it begins the Day of Atonement. But we as Christians typically don't recognize or certainly don't practice these feasts, but I think they're a good thing to have in mind. They're just fascinating to me that they foretell the life and ministry of Jesus. Now, when God gave Moses these feasts, they were things to instruct the people that they were memorials. They were pictures of what God had done with his people, with Israel in the past, and they were to be memorials of those things he'd done, but also foreshadow things to come, things that Jesus was going to do. And he says they were for times and seasons. They were they occurred every year. And there were seven, four in the spring and three in the fall. The four spring feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. And then the fall feasts, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and then ultimately tabernacles. And right now, the Jews in the world and the Messianic Jews, the Messianics are people who accept Christ, they understand Christ, they're believers, but they have ties to the Old Testament and they actually observe these feasts. I've got a couple friends at work that do this, and it's just fascinating. But anyway, the Feast of Trumpets, when we see in the Bible in written trumpet, what it's referring to is what they call a shofar. It's a horn made out of a ram's horn, and they would blow this horn. And the use of the shofar in the Bible, it represents the voice of God, God speaking. We see that when the law was given at Mount Sinai, the sound of the trumpet was so loud, and it got louder, and it scared the people so much that they said, told Moses, you go talk with him. We don't want to hear that again. But it represents the voice of God. It's used for signaling and alerting. It's used as a weapon for frightening the enemy. They used it to announce victory. It's used as a warning signal. They used it at coronations and at feasts and at festivals, and it was part of their worship. Now, this Feast of Trumpets it's a several-day period, and it has different themes within it. The first theme, one of the themes, is it's a day of awakening. The shofar is loud. It's to get your attention. It's a call to awake from a spiritual slumber. Isaiah 51:9 says, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient of days, in the generations of old." Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, you who sleep, awake from the dead. Arise, and Christ will give you light." Are we spiritually awake? Are we listening to the voice of God? Do we hear the trumpet? Are we ready? Within the Feast of Trumpets also, it's a time of repentance and reflection. It begins a 10-day period of reflection and repentance ending on the Day of Atonement. It's a time of reflection of how did we do this year? Initially they were most of them farmers, so they thought about how was our harvest this year? What could we do better next year? How do we plan or plant and increase our harvest? But it's a time for us to reflect on how did we do as believers? Have we produced any harvest this year? What can we do better next year to increase the harvest for the Lord? It's a time when it says, and because it's a time of reflection and repentance, it's a time when the gates of heaven are open to receive the prayers of the saints. Psalms 118, 19, 20 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'll go through them, and I'll praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter." It's a time when the repentant hope to find their name sealed in the book of life. As for the unrepentant, Psalm 69, 28 says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous." Revelation 20, 15 says, "And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Are we reflecting? Are we repentant? Are we ready? Is our name found in the book of life? It's also a time of judgment, a time of separation. The Jewish tradition says that God would sit in the court and all men would pass before him to be judged. And there's three great books were to be opened and each man weighed in the balance and placed into one of three categories: one of the holy righteous, one of the holy wicked, or one of the intermediates. And the holy righteous are at once inscribed and sealed into the book of life and for the world to come. The holy wicked are at once inscribed and sealed for perdition, and the intermediates learned of their fate at the Day of Atonement at a later time. We see this in Daniel 7, chapter 7, 9 and 10. It says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Now, we're familiar with this concept of judgment ultimately in the New Testament at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, 12 through 15 says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Are we ready? Are we spiritually prepared to be judged. It's also during this season, the Feast of Trumpets, it's also a time of separation. And we need to be, as believers, prepared ahead of time to be separate. Matthew 24:37 says, or Jesus said, that in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the man, coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, then shall two be in the field, one be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, you know not what hour the Lord does come. The righteous are separated and will be with God. The unrepentant will be left to go through the tribulation and experience the judgments and the plagues that God's going to bring on the earth. And when we read the book of Revelation, we have to remember that it was written in a Hebrew context, that the things that, the way it's described and everything is Old Testament fashion. It's apocalyptic literature, but it's written from a Jewish perspective. But in Revelation 8 and 9, when we see that the seven angels with the seven trumpets, those are seven shofars, they're the announcements, the voice of God announcing the plagues coming on the earth during the tribulation time. So are we ready to be judged? Are we separated from the world? Does God look at the world and see us as being separate, ready to be judged? It's also a time of the resurrection of the dead. Now, in Judaism, there are three trumpets that have a name. The first trump, the last trump, and the great trump. And the first trumpet is blown to announce the Feast of Pentecost. The last trumpet is blown for the Feast of Trumpets. And then the great trumpet is blown on the Day of Atonement, or when things are sealed. And we see these three trumpets in the New Testament. See if this doesn't sound familiar. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul tells of the last trump. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And Jesus himself spoke of the great trumpet. In Matthew 24:31, he says, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Have we been made new? Have we been resurrected from old creation to new? Have we been made new, born again? Are we ready for the sound of that trumpet? Now, it's also considered a day of a hidden day, a day of hiding, because it is a day of judgment. It's symbolically hidden from Satan. Believers didn't know, never said when it was going to happen, and didn't know when it was going to happen. It was hidden from Satan, the accuser. He was not to be given notice of about the arrival of the Day of Trumpets or a Day of Judgment. The rabbis even taught that Satan hated the sound of the shofar because he could not tell the difference between it and the voice of God. Psalm 27:5 says, for in the day of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalms 81:3 says, "Sound the shofar on the new moon in concealment of the day of our festival." It was hidden. Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Are we aware of the times? Are we alert? Are we watching for that day? Are we ready? Like I mentioned earlier, the spring feasts, within prophecy, the four spring feasts have already been fulfilled by Jesus. All prophecy has its initial fulfillment, an intermediate fulfillment, and then a future fulfillment, typically. Now we see the spring feasts have been fulfilled by Christ at his coming initially. The Passover, he fulfilled that. 1 Corinthians 5 through 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye be made a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed with us." The feast unleavened bread was fulfilled. Also, John 6:51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He also fulfilled the feast of first fruits initially. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." He fulfilled the feast of Pentecost in Acts 2 when he sent down the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Now, what we see in prophecy, though, is Jesus is coming to fulfill the last three, the fall feasts. The trumpet is going to sound, the shofar is going to sound, and the people of the earth will be judged and their fate sealed. Some will leave, some will stay. And after tribulation, Jesus will establish his kingdom here on earth and tabernacle with us and us with him. Revelations 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, I said, Paul, I believe it's absolutely no accident in anything of God's work. And I believe he had a very good reason for picking Rabbi Shaul and transforming him into who we call Paul so that he could write the letters to the churches, because he was a very learned, very scholarly rabbi. He had some of the best teaching there was, and he was able to put these things together to address the churches. Let's see if this makes sense now. 1 Thessalonians, he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night." And when we see as a thief in the night, he means to those who aren't watching. It's going to come as a thief in the night to the world who does not know Christ, and to many that have heard of Christ or claim to profess him, but who are not watching, who are not prepared, who are not ready. Now, just as God gave these prophecies, these feasts, to the Jews to practice every year as a sign, as times and seasons, and as a prophecy, a sign for when the Messiah would come and what he was going to do so they could recognize him, but the religious establishment, the Pharisees and all, they added so much of their tradition that most of the Jews got caught up in practicing these man-made traditions. They lost sight. It was a distraction from God's prophecies. Our concern is today with most of the church, we're so busy with outside distractions and man-made traditions that some of us may miss when he comes again. this next time. Revelation 19 describes the bride of Christ, and we know that individual believers that make up the church is the bride. But it describes, it says that the bride has made herself ready. She has put on fine linen. She is clean and pure. She does not have a spot or a blemish. She has gone through the effort to make herself ready, to have been set apart, to be repentant, to be aware of the times and seasons. Are we ready? Are we alert, awake, and watchful? Are we repentant? Are we reflecting on how we can do better for the Lord? Are we ready for that judgment, that time of separation when our fate is sealed? We either go or stay. Have we been resurrected? Have we been made new and ready to meet Him? Are we aware of the times, that the times are not hidden from us? Are we ready? Because He's coming. He's coming. We just don't know when, but He is coming. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is even at hand. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your love for us, that You've done everything supernatural to preserve this word for us, that we'd have it today. Let us not take it lightly. Let us be diligent in our reading and in our prayer for understanding, that we'd understand and recognize what we need to be ready for You, to be effective servants of You. Lord, just give us discernment in all things and not be distracted like most of the world and much of the church with worldly things that are of no value. When we spend our time and when we choose what to read or pay attention to, Lord, have your Spirit prod us and ask us, is it of value? Does it glorify You? Will it bring people to repentance and to a relationship with You? Will it help us to do better for You, or is it of no value? And let us choose words of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe this is where we have a time of invitation for decisions. If there's decisions to be made, I don't know if there's any one here that doesn't know the Lord, that would like to come to know Him, have a better understanding, or just make that public profession of faith, or perhaps join this church. At least ask all of us to pray and reflect on our standing with God, our standing and our understanding with God, and our preparedness for His return at this time. 316. Now, there's a lot of Jesus in this world, but the one the Bible prophesied, foretold about, and records His ministry is one that was born of a virgin, led a sinless life, died on the cross for us to make an atonement for our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb, resurrected 3 days later, and then after 50 days ascended to be at the right hand with the Father and sent His Holy Spirit. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. That's the Jesus we need to know.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.